Blog Talk Radio.
And live from Mets Life Stadium, Sean Palmer, Seth Kamen's in studio. And you can hear the cymbals and the drums playing, the drum line outside MetLife Stadium, where I am anticipating a great battle between the Bears of Chicago versus the Jets of, I guess, New Jersey. How you doing, Seth?
I am doing well. Basking in the glow, of course, of the Giants finally getting off the schneid. And more importantly, of course, the biggest win of the weekend, the University of Maryland dominating in Syracuse over the hapless Orange 34-20. Seth and Sean, backsportspage.com, Blog Talk Radio. Well, Jets Bears, we'll start with that. You know, this is your introduction to Monday Night Football, correct? Actually, it's not.
This is not your
introduction to Monday Night Football, because you and I went to the Giants-Cowboys Monday Night Football game 2 years ago.
No, we went to Thursday Night Football, because it was the first game of the season.
Yeah, that was a Thursday? I thought it was a Monday night. It was a Thursday night?
Always open on Thursday. Always open on Thursday. This is my introduction to Monday Night Football. And this is really, really cool. I mean, all in all, it's going to be cold tonight. It's about 51, 52 degrees right now, and the wind's picking up. And we're sitting all the way up in nosebleed section. But you know what? There's nothing like Monday Night Football. Talk to me again tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, where I'm pretty much falling asleep on my desk, and then we'll talk again. But it's been a busy week, busy couple of weeks for Sean at the office. So this is my treat. And then, so I am happy to be here, and it looks like a whole lot of Bears fans are happy to be here, too. And somebody is sitting in their trunk. That is pretty awesome. I mean, I'm looking at different people doing different things. One person has braids and green, and it's a guy. So there you go. And, I almost just got hit by a football, but then again, I can't catch. So that would
that
be
is true.
Anyway, that is true. So last week we talked about Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, and Greg Hardy. And I think we have to finish that thought going forward. Sanchez jersey. Anyway, we need to finish that thought going forward. Adrian Peterson likely not to play again for the Minnesota Vikings this year. In my opinion, I don't think he'll ever play for the Minnesota Vikings again. I don't think he should.
Wait a second.
I just don't.
You don't think he should be able to return to the NFL?
I don't think he'll return. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I mean, why shouldn't he be able? Now, I don't think he wants to play in Minnesota, and I'm sure Minnesota at this point figures, you know what, we're rebuilding. You know, he is the best. He may be the preeminent runner in football, but you know, the bad publicity that's come with it may just not be worth it at this point for a team that's 4-12. Why do you specifically think he will not be back?
Well, okay, I don't think he'll be back in Minnesota. That's not to say he won't be back in the NFL. Look, you know my feelings on this. I think everybody deserves redemption, or at least a chance for it, including Ray Rice. So, and including Michael Vick, and including anybody that commits a crime. You should all have a chance of redemption, and I think Adrian Peterson is worth that as well. But I don't think he'll be back in Minnesota. And he definitely, despite what he thinks, I don't think there's a shot that he's back this year. Not one shot. Not one in a million. Not one.
No, I'm not quite as confident on that, though I do think he will be out for an extended period of time. You know, the one that the third name that you mentioned who hasn't gotten as much publicity, Greg Hardy, the All-Pro defensive end, from Carolina. His has kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit with all the publicity that's gone on with Peterson and with Rice. Do you see Hardy coming back this year?
Nope. I am shocked that Ray McDonald is not getting any of this negative publicity in San Francisco, except for the fact that Ray McDonald has disputed the charges and actually hasn't been arrested. That's the difference. That's the only difference, is that he hasn't been arrested.
Between those three, we have Jonathan Dwyer, the apparently God-fearing running back from Arizona, who was kicked off of, who's I guess on the unable to perform list or whatever it's called, will be out for the season in Arizona. Five of them, really, in over a 6-month period, I'm sure there'll be more forthcoming. Roger Goodell had a press conference about this late last week. Nobody seems convinced that he has the answer, or that there is, or even that he has. Is it even that he's going in the right direction with this?
We didn't discuss what.
I was going to say, we've discussed whether Roger Goodell will be forced to resign. I don't see anyone, as I've said before, I don't see anyone resigning from a $44 million a year job. I just don't see it happening. Now, with Anheuser-Busch, $200 million marketing, advertising behemoth, showing some anger towards the NFL, is that going to be what's going to push the owners to force him to resign?
Okay, let's understand this. Anheuser-Busch is not going anywhere.
Agreed.
Because if they do, then Coors Light will come up, or some other beer. With the amount of beer that Americans drink at football games, somebody would be only more than happy to pay that amount to be in the NFL, to be the leading whatever provider of the NFL. It's not happening. It's an idle threat. It's a threat that worked well, but it's an idle threat. So I think that's hogwash if they're using that. I think Goodell's not going anywhere, but let me ask you this. Do you trust anything out of that man's mouth right now? Because I don't.
No, I don't. I think he is trying to placate everybody. And this is what I've said about pretty much almost society as a whole. Everything is done reactively, and this is no different. You know, people have the idea of, well, you know, we're going to be proactive and do A, B, and C. Very few people incorporate anything are proactive and only do things in response to calamity such as this. And, you know, nobody's really, we're still in the gray of what he saw, what he didn't see. But do I believe him? No. To quote you from last week and to quote Terrell Owens, his agent from 4 years ago, he's got 44 million reasons not to quit and to cover his beep. So I don't see any reason to believe him.
Yeah, I don't give him any benefit of the doubt anymore. I mean, and I think that's where it comes down to the question of how much is too much for him. And I'm not sure there's going to be enough for him. Like, really, he's making so much money for the NFL. Yeah, he screwed up. All he's got to say is, I screwed up, and that'll be fine. And he already did it. So, I mean, yeah, 6 games probably isn't enough. And I'm looking forward to seeing this revamped policy, whatever that policy is. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of this game right now because, yeah. So let me ask you this, Seth. You're a Giants fan, and not to get off the subject, but I just passed 3 beautiful blondes. And my buddy makes the claim that when you go to a Giants game, it is definitely not on the hotness factor the same as it is to the Jets because it's just an old... I thought I got disconnected. So the hotness factor, he's saying that the Jet games are better because it's a younger crowd. Do you agree, disagree, hot or not?
I agree it's a younger crowd. I have no clue whether it's a hotter crowd or not. But the Giants are more corporate. The Giants fans have had those season tickets for 20, 30, 40 years, going back to 76, 77. And, you know, a lot of the people who go there are older. The Jets are a younger the Jets are obviously a younger, you know, younger populace, but also, to be fair, to get through Jets games and to watch Jets seasons over the years, one has to be a bit drunk to go through that when you're going to those games. So there's a lot more tailgating, people are a lot more drunk, and girls are, well, better looking when guys are drunk. So based on that logic, based on your question, I'll agree with you.
Well, right now we're walking through a Bears. Wow, we're gonna have to post this picture on our Facebook account. My buddy Rick Maltez is gonna send me that picture, and we'll post it on the Facebook account because they got a pretty hot ride for an ultimate tailgate for the Bears. And speakers on both sides with Bears footballs, four TVs, a pipe and sound system, all out of the back of. I'm thinking it's like an Astro van. Hold on. It's a Chevy van, a Chevy 20. Chevy 20 van. So, very, very interesting way to go about. We'll pass the right by. So, anyway.
Anywhere either. No, I don't. And if anyone wants to call in and discuss either the hotness of Jets fans or anything else actually sports related, feel free, 760-283-0846. No, I don't think Goodell is going anywhere. So let's actually talk, well, football. You know, we've talked enough, you know, we've talked a decent amount about this over the last 2 weeks. Let's get back to the fun of talking football. The Redskins, I start with one down in D.C., or sat in the D.C. in the NFC East, which, while we have a 3-0 team in Philly, there is an interesting long-term battle shaping up in Washington. Kirk Cousins, first start of the year, Griffin III out for an extended period of time, throws for 430 and change, three touchdowns. Is this potentially the beginning of the end of Robert Griffin III in Washington, D.C.?
Well, remember, Seth, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. RG3 will be back in probably 5 to 6 weeks. Kirk Cousins has played 1.5 games. It's not really, it may be a quarterback battle right now in 5 weeks, but we've seen 1.5 games, and we've seen the Eagles do not have a great pass defense. In fact, I believe they're ranked 24th or 25th in the league. They don't have a great secondary. They don't have a great pass rush. So let's see him face a Bengals team. Let's see him face, and I'll put the Jets in there. Let's see him face a Jets team. Let's see him face a team that has a quality front seven. And fortunately or unfortunately for him, there is no such thing in the NFC East as a quality front seven at all on any team. So,
well, but here is the question, though. They bring in Jay Gruden. Not exactly, you know, as I had stated when he was brought in 6 months ago, 9 months ago, probably not the most inspired choice in the world. A guy who brought Andy Dalton to above mediocrity as a starting QB. Kirk Cousins strikes me much more in the Jay Gruden philosophy than, you know, following what Andy Dalton did, what Robert Griffin III does, who is more of a run, obviously more of a scrambler, more of a runaround quarterback. That's why I kind of wonder it's why I question them bringing in Gruden to begin with, and why I think there will be a very long look at Cousins.
Well, I mean,
over
I totally
this five
agree
or six week period.
I mean, I totally agree with you. He's definitely more of the Jay Gruden type quarterback. However, it's a matter of how well he plays in the later time periods. I mean, right now we're looking at 5 to 6 weeks of time. Let's see what he does in 5 to 6 weeks of time. This is a week and a half. I mean, is he Scott Mitchell, who did it in 5 to 6 weeks, or is he Kurt Warner, who did it in 5 to 6 weeks? And only time will tell. And I don't have the Washington Redskins schedule in front of me, but I know they play the Giants next week. That's not a real imposing front seven either. Now, they are beaten up. So, I mean, the question is, how does he do against quality teams? And well, yes, the Eagles are a quality offensive team, but are they a quality defensive team?
I'm bringing up the Redskins schedule right now. And the Giants, look, I have no illusions about the Giants. But credit was earned. They did look good this weekend. Go Eli. Beating the previously undefeated Texans 30-17. So this is your schedule. Oof. Yeah, it's an interesting mix. Next 6 weeks before the bye. Home against New York. Home against Seattle. That will not be particularly easy. At Arizona. Obviously not easy. Then you have three straight games, though. Home against Tennessee, who seems to be falling apart at the seams 3 weeks in. At Dallas, not exactly the Dallas defense of the early 90s. And at Minnesota, and who knows what Minnesota is going to be. And then you go into the bye week, and I assume that's when Griffin will probably be available to play again. So there will be an interest. It will give him at least a legitimate tryout period going forward. And we'll see where it goes.
I agree with that. But like I said before, let's see him against Seattle. And granted, you know what? Seattle's a very hard test. But we're a week and a half in. And I'd like to see him do a little bit more than just 1.5 weeks. And they'll have that opportunity. And we'll see what the rest of the team is made like, because, quite frankly, the rest of the team needs to get healthy, too. Because they're not healthy either. Alvin Morris went down with a little bit of a knee problem on Sunday. DeSean Jackson has been hurting. Granted, he did an extremely good flying routine when he scored the one touchdown. You kind of knew he wasn't going to miss that game. They're missing Jordan Reed. So, I mean, Niles Powell filled in very well. But the fact is, not a great offensive line. So we'll see what they can come up with. I mean, you never know with these guys.
Who has been the most impressive team to you through 3 weeks?
Most impressive team in 3 weeks. I don't really know the most impressive team in 3 weeks. I mean, I think the Arizona Cardinals for what they've been able to do. So they've won two games, one against a team they never beat, which is San Francisco 49ers, and they won without their starting quarterback. They won without most of their front seven, who's been either suspended or hurt. I like what they're doing down there. I like what Bruce Arians has done. I won't say they're the best team, but they're certainly the one I'm most impressed by. Drew Stanton, who should have been the backup quarterback here in New York, and then Tannenbaum decides to go get a guy named Tim Tebow.
Never heard of him.
It's 500. Yeah, never heard of him. Neither has anybody else this year, except if you watch the SEC Network. So, I mean, the fact is, that's the team I'm looking at.
I think they've been impressive. I think, obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals have been very impressive. Not only, obviously, being defeated, but two very convincing wins. We can hear the wind blowing outside MetLife right now. And also losing their offensive coordinator in Gruden, losing their defensive coordinator in Mike Zimmer. Still, by far the biggest plus-minus differential in football at plus 47. Arizona 3-0. Impressive wins over, I wouldn't say winning over New York is super impressive, but beating San Diego, then coming east and beating the Giants, and then going home and beating San Fran. Great start to the week. Great start for the first 3 weeks, especially without, as you said, without Carson Palmer for two of the 3 weeks and without three quarters of their defense. Todd Bowles looking like a legitimate pro head coaching candidate next year. What else hit you in week three?
Well, what hit me was the fact that the Giants actually won a game. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
They played fairly impressively. Rashad Jennings definitely ran them. They did. They looked good against a weakened team. What impressed me most in week three was Ryan Fitzpatrick keeping that mustache going. That is fantastic. That that is that I couldn't pull that off in like 10 years. I couldn't grow that thing.
That's
like
what they
Raleigh fingers esque. That's Raleigh fingers esque. I mean, that is fantastic.
That is what they teach at Harvard. It's not economics. It's how to grow the 1 foot long goatee and beard. Yeah, it was. I think he did have a great game in Seattle. Denver coming back down to 8 minutes to go and scoring with 20 seconds, about 15 seconds left.
Seth, you're breaking up like every 2 seconds, buddy.
Yeah, I think more on your side though than on mine.
Maybe.
The Ravens winning their second game in a row over some adversity, beating Cleveland at the buzzer. Tampa Bay potentially being the worst team in the NFL, which I don't think either of us saw. Have you seen a team 3 weeks into the season put up as bad a performance in recent memory? That without having given up the season yet, have you seen a team put up that bad of a performance?
Well, we say this every year, that there's one team that we overrate and then they're really, really bad. I mean, we said that on about the Giants last year. We didn't think that they would be that bad, and they were. So, I mean, there's always a team like that. I mean, the Jaguars have given up their season. I mean, Blake Bortles is now going to be their quarterback. So, I mean, yeah, they're that bad. They're worse than the Bucs. I mean, I think the first half.
But the Bucs had expectations.
I mean, they're really bad.
But you had expectations with the Buccaneers. You had what you thought was, you have a good receiving duo in Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. You have Doug Martin at the running back, who is at least formidable. You bring in Josh McCown after he outplayed Jay Cutler in Chicago. The defense is solid. Plus you have, what's his name? The head coach, Lovie Smith, coming after a year hiatus. A defensive guy from Chicago. This is not a team you expected to be 0-3. This is not a team you expected to be 0-3 in this capacity. This is just ugly right now.
Yeah, it is. And Lovie Smith does not deserve a team like this. I mean, they already lost their quarterback. Mike Evans has proved to be a rookie wide receiver, just like he is. I mean, people thought he was going to be a top-notch guy. In time, he probably will be. Doug Martin's been hurt. The offensive line is horrendous. I mean, their best offensive lineman is a guy that was acquired 2 weeks before the season even started in Logan Mankins. But I'll tell you one team that has not impressed me at all, and that's the New England Patriots. I mean, look, they're 2-1. I get it. But that win yesterday was ugly, and it wasn't even a concept that they, like, they were the most favored team in the NFL yesterday. I believe it was like 13 points. 14.5, says my buddy. And they played nothing like a team that any team that could run the ball would have won that game. And the problem was the Raiders can't run the ball. But here's the other issue. Neither can New England. They had 1st and 10 from the 8 and couldn't punch it in. That's a running deficiency. And when you trade your best offensive lineman 2 weeks before the season begins, that only causes more trouble. I don't know. I don't know if you watched any of their game yesterday, but they are not in the Super Bowl race to me, even with Rob Gronkowski.
No, they have looked ugly. There's no question. This is not a good-looking 2-1 team right now. Their loss looks worse and worse, considering Miami, as at a point 3 games in, that they're thinking of benching their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. It has been ugly in the AFC so far this year. But they are still 2-1. They still do have Tom Brady, and there is still a lot of time left this year.
Yes, but Seth, they have Tom Brady. But what has Tom Brady done this year? I mean,
not much. They have not looked great. I'm with you. They don't look great. Yeah, still favorite in that division. But maybe they're coming towards the close. Who knows?
Well, only one would hope.
So. A little bit of college. I do have your beloved orange, not the best performance. Pretty much, yes, they are a basketball team predominantly. Maryland to a pretty easy 34-20 victory. I should be saying more, but I'm still not that optimistic about our team, my team going forward. What do you think about your team going forward?
Oh, my team is my team. I mean, they're not a football powerhouse, but you know what? We can always still win the ACC. I mean, it was a Big Ten loss. We're still in it to win it, dude.
There you go. The Big Ten actually redeemed themselves a little bit outside of Michigan, who apparently losing at home to Utah is still not enough to get Brady Hoke fired. But you've got to figure this has to be just about the end. No offensive prowess at all. A team that may make a whole game. I think they're one. You know, they're coming off a 31-0 loss.
Oh no, you're right. Okay.
You know, he's a Michigan guy, and the guy coaching there, you know, personifies that kind of team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of what's Michigan going to do at the end of this. Where do they go? Do they go to a Jim Harbaugh? And does Jim Harbaugh even want that job?
Well, I don't know. I think Harbaugh may. San Francisco, not looking great. You know, they have a lot of injuries on the defensive side. But that being said, this is a team that's had over 100 yards of penalties the last two games. The offense has not looked great. Kaepernick has not looked great. It's a team that may be a little bit ugly. And Harbaugh's the kind of guy who can, you know, the coach can pretty much wear his team thin. I would not be surprised if this was the last year of Harbaugh in San Francisco.
Well, I think a lot depends on the rest of the year, right? So they lost the Cardinals. I mean, if they win a Super Bowl, he's back. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind he's probably back. Or he's somewhere else and earning a lot of money in the NFL. Does he want to go that route? That's a different story. I don't know. I mean, like you said, we both think Brady Hoke's gone at the end of this year. Now, who's going to be the replacement for him? I'll tell you one person it's not, and that's going to be Rich Rodriguez.
That, I agree. I can tell you one person that will be mentioned, and that's probably going to be Les Miles down in LSU, who, after their loss at home to Mississippi State this Saturday, you know, the LSU faithful are not ones to put up with mediocrity. And losing at Mississippi State, even with their all-star quarterback or all-SEC quarterback, Dak Prescott, that's a tough run. And Miles has not gotten a lot of credit down there. He's wanted to go to Michigan. We all know this, and the opportunity may be arising again.
Yeah, I think he goes. I mean, if he's offered that opportunity again, I think he's gone. I mean, I thought he was the best choice last time, and they paid Miles a lot of money to stay. I think this is the shot that he goes to, and he's a happier man for it. I mean, they love him in Michigan. And granted, we keep saying they love these guys. They love you. They only love them as long as they win, right? I mean,
right.
Your love is all. Charlie Weiss was loved in Notre Dame until he started losing, and then they complained about his weight. I mean, it's all about how much. What have you done for me lately? And I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh is actually a perfect college coach, much in the same way as Pete Carroll was, and maybe he does some college time and then comes back to the pros, knowing what he can do.
What do you think about Mr. Winston? Jameis Winston, obviously the Heisman Trophy winner last year, supposedly coming in this relatively mature guy. And this is just, I mean, we spoke about this late last week, that you think he falls out of the first round. This is, this is, you know, what he did. I mean, it takes a lot to be suspended for a game at FSU. And even after screaming the words, the obscenities that he did on Friday or Thursday, I guess earlier in the week, it makes it extremely different. You know, Florida State did not want to suspend him for the whole game, only for the half. And now, you know, and then eventually it did turn around, and due to peer pressure, public pressure, they suspended him for the game.
No, he did something else. Wait, no. He did something else. It wasn't just the obscenities. I don't remember what else he did, but Jameson Winston did something else on top of the obscenities.
He stood up, I thought, at the cafeteria and,
that's
you know,
what he
yelled,
did first. No, you're right. That's
else?
What he did first. But then I
that's
think he got something
about.
Else.
You know,
I don't recall
the
secondary option.
But regardless, you know, this is a guy who is the number one, number one player in the country last year, led his team to the national championship, would have possibly been the number one pick coming out this year. And now everyone is crushing his maturity, and it's deserved. You know, this is stupid. This is Bush League stuff. And,
I said it last week, Seth. I'll say it again. He's not a first-round pick this year. And I think he might actually drop to the third.
And you're basing this, of course, strictly on just his maturity level. I don't think you're basing this on anything physical. This is strictly on maturity, correct?
Just maturity, absolutely. I think now is the time that these NFL owners are questioning what they're going to do with their first-round picks, what they're doing with their players in all. And right now, they've gotten to the point that on top, remember, he wasn't even charged with the sexual assault, and Florida State fumbled that so badly that that's on, even if it's not on his criminal record, it's certainly on his public record. If you're an owner, how do you take that guy in the first round and commit that much money to him? How do you name that guy the face of your franchise? I just don't see it.
It is a brutal situation. So, trying to think what else. We've got about 25 minutes left to talk a little bit more. We're not talking mascots.
Who?
There's a second person in this apartment who wants a mascot show. So she asked us to discuss mascots. And that will happen at some point, but not yet.
No. That will happen when Carly dresses up as a mascot.
Carly, the axe has been thrown. When you dress up as a mascot, we will have a mascot show. She's not dressing up as a mascot. Fair enough. Going forward. So, I figured you would enjoy this. Did you hear what happened with the Mets and their hashtag?
I have not.
Oh, this is great. So, apparently the Mets, in their infinite wisdom, as we know how great they are as owners and GMs, their social media people apparently are just as smart. They decide to start, you know, a Twitter program based on the hashtag, I am a Mets fan because. And listen, to a degree, that may be a nice idea. You know, I'm a Mets fan. I'm reading this right off of Sports Illustrated. I'm a Mets fan because of my brother, who took me to my first game in 1983. I'm a Mets fan because of Mike Piazza. I'm a Mets fan because of David Wright and the way he plays the games. However, when you're a Mets fan, usually these are not really the positives. The positives don't stay for very long. I'm a Mets fan because I'm an idiot. I'm a Mets fan because I don't feel I deserve true happiness. I'm a Mets fan because I'm a masochist and often feel the urge to punish myself. Do you feel any of these things from time to time, Sean?
I have not filled out those things. I would say, why am I a Mets fan? Because I've been a Mets fan forever.
and it's only appropriate that I stick with my team. As bad as they have been, I have been a Mets, Jets, Knicks, and Islanders fan for 25 years, 25, 35, 38 years, and it's just my team.
So, I personally like the other ones. I think I'm a Mets fan because my parents didn't love me as a child. Well, we are at the end of baseball season, so probably we should probably hit on that a little bit. We'll be about 4 or 5 games. We're going into the final week. We'll have our postseason preview next week, but there are still some division races up. Wow, I can barely hear you at this point. You still have Detroit, Kansas City in the AL Central. You still have two. I mean, that's really, I guess, the only divisional run out there. Does Kansas City have a chance to come back and win this division at this point?
No, I mean, do they? Sure. But does it matter? They're gonna get one of the wild cards, and I think they're just happy enough doing that. I don't think it's necessary to get the
They're only one game ahead of Seattle for the final wild card spot.
Right, but I think Seattle actually has a harder schedule. I mean, look, it could be either team could do it. You know, I'm rooting for Kansas City the same way I'm rooting for Pittsburgh. Those are my two teams. When I was a kid, those were actually my two teams. That aside from the Mets, I picked one team in each league to root for because they were perennial losers. Don't say anything about the Mets being a perennial loser. So the fact is, those are my secondary teams. But I'd love to see the Royals do it before the Mariners do.
I think everyone would kind of like, I mean, obviously the Angels somehow in the last 2 months, ran away with this division, have the best record in baseball. And you do have, you know, Oakland has been there so many times over the last couple of years that even with as talented a team as they have, I would like to see Seattle and Kansas City get the wild card if possible. Although that would kind of ruin Oakland's trade for Samardzija and for John Lester.
It doesn't ruin the Samardzija trade.
Samardzija, they have enough for another year.
Right. So they still have him for next year. It does ruin the Lester trade a lot. It totally ruins the Lester trade. But they do have Samardzija for another year. They can always trade him this year, get some of the talent that they sacrificed back, and they always have next year to trade him at the deadline if they need to. So it's not a total waste of Samardzija. Now, people are going to say it's because Cespedes has left that Oakland has gone downhill. Totally not true. It's just not. I mean, his OBP was not that great to begin with, and they made up enough for it. The team has just gone in the tank. I mean, completely gone in the tank.
No, there's no question about it. And you know, the only other big, you know, we have obviously the big news today, Frank Wren fired in Atlanta as GM. Do you agree with the move?
Absolutely. I mean, there was nothing else you could do. I mean, he was gone the second that they dropped out. I mean, he's a good GM, good baseball mind. That's it. I mean, he really doesn't have anything to go with. So I absolutely agree with the move. Right now I'm lining up for a field goal at Giants Stadium, MetLife Stadium. Player I play here. We're waiting for the line to descend. Oh, and there it is. I think I might have to go back another 5 yards from these guys, given that I have so much experience in this. But anyway, that being said. So, yeah. Oh, somebody just kicked it like the punter on the Texans did yesterday to the side.
Over the net.
Oh, off the post.
I was going to say, do you want to end the show a little bit early since you seem to be having such a good time out there?
I think that's a good idea, and we'll talk more baseball next week when the playoffs start.
All right. So we're going to cut it a little bit short this week, guys. Next week, kind of a baseball review, you know, baseball regular season review, playoff preview, obviously a little bit of NFL, a little bit of college, maybe even a little bit of hockey, since I think hockey preseason starts pretty soon. And we can get a couple people.
We have to get Sir Keegan Reed on at some point for a hockey preview. So I'm thinking that's in 2 weeks.
We will do that. So for everyone who's listening, who's an MOT, Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
For those otherwise, to my boy Dave Schell down in Maryland looks like he's going to survive some survive. We've got some really good news health wise. I'm happy for you and the fam. We'll all talk next week. For Sean Palmer, Seth Kamen, PackSportsBase.com. Have a good night, everybody.
See ya.
So those we have.